Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Madison Holloman, owner and founder of Mad Marketing House. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I love the name of your business, by the way.
Thank you.
So to get started, let's learn a little bit more about you, just so our audience knows who we are talking to today, a little bit about your leadership story.
Yep. So I am the oldest of five girls. I'm a third generation entrepreneur. I grew up in a household of my dad had his own international brand. They service the entire world with a $2 million product. And he started that in 2000. So as a child, I witnessed and sat at the dinner table with billionaires, celebrities,
Wow. Heads
of countries, and saw him build this business from the ground up. And it's funny, to this day, I still call myself the family manager because I am so type A, organized, want to be control freak. And I think it's just because I grew up in this household of so many children, so it was chaotic. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because today I have three children. I married my high school sweetheart and our house is chaos. So it's funny how we recreate the environments in which we were raised in unknowingly. Mm-hmm. But through the experience of growing up that way, I always knew that I wanted to own my own business. I actually owned a couple businesses before I started the agency. And, you know, people used to actually make fun of me when I was in college and a younger adult, because I was constantly starting a new business to try and figure out what I wanted to do and see what stuck. And finally, once I started the agency 5 years ago, I was like, okay, I've really hit home somewhere and I found something that doesn't feel like work to me. I'm so passionate about what we do.
Yeah. That's the best part, isn't it? Because I'm the same way. When I left corporate and doing this, it's like you found where you were meant to be and it feels so good.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about that life and that work balance, because clearly you've seen where that sometimes crosses over each other, especially probably when you were younger, but also maybe now. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about why this really does resonate with you? Why this topic?
So I think it means something differently for everybody, especially as entrepreneurs. We're wired a little bit differently. We, you know, don't work in a confined 8 to 5, 40 hours a week. Most successful entrepreneurs will tell you that it takes a lot more than 40 hours a week when you're
getting started
to actually make it and, you know, be able to build a life that you want for you, yourself and your family. But I've found that I can travel across the United States and be in New York one day, be in Miami the next, or back in the office here in Augusta. And I'm able to do that by the support that I have within work and within my home life. And for me, that means having a really supportive and loving husband. I have lots of sisters that support with the kids, picking up, dropping off. We have a really amazing nanny that's been with us for 3 years. I'm in the middle of hiring a house manager. Somebody that can just help me get the house organized and with laundry. You know, I came back after traveling for a week and I spent my entire Sunday doing laundry, which is normal for us moms with small children.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to spend the day just hanging out with the kids, you know, playing outside, maybe watching a movie together. But I was so stressed about the loads of laundry that I had to get through to be able to start Monday properly.
Right.
So I'm really excited to be able to have that position in place this week. I'm making a decision and it's just going to make my life and my family's life easier.
Yeah, I love that. I had a client that was, they just wanted mealtime, like meal prep, to be gone. And so they had someone just come do the meals. And it was totally worth it for them to spend more time with their young children, because it's really important. When we're leaders or business owners and we have young children or even teenagers, it can be very challenging. What do you feel that, you know, leaders face when we are trying to be present at home, but also at work? What are some of those challenges about balancing those things? You know, I used to travel a lot myself, and it would be difficult. You know, you've got your support system at home, but still you feel that little bit of guilt and things like that. What do you see out there?
So I've done a couple of simple things. One of those is, like the do not disturb option on your phone. Well, you
Love
can
it.
make something called personal. So I made a personal option and it kicks in a certain day and time every day. Within the personal option to be able to put on your phone, I was able to select certain people that could have access to me throughout the day or even on the weekend. So that, if somebody is trying to get in touch with me, that's important, like my husband or my family or the nanny or whoever it is, they can have access to me. But it just kind of mutes all the outside noise, the stressful emails that you might get on the weekend or a text message or notifications from somewhere. And I found that simple act of just putting my phone on personal mode throughout the week or on the weekend really created a safe space for me mentally to unplug and be able to be present with my kids.
It allows for focus too. You know, I mean, when we talk do not disturb as well, I used to do this, I still do this, but when I was corporate, I would have do not disturb hours in my calendar just so that, you know what, I need to focus so I can be present for whatever project I'm working on. Because otherwise, if you interrupt me six times and it takes me 10 minutes to get back focused, I've lost an hour and I'm staying an hour longer and now I'm no longer present for my family, right? Do you have any,
Exactly.
yeah. Do you have any other strategies? Yeah, sorry, go
Time
ahead.
blocking. Yeah, time blocking is so important. I do the same thing. My calendar is like crazy color coded, and I like live by it. On Sunday night, I love to like get in the tub and like open up my Outlook app and look at my calendar for the week and clear things off and adjust things. And I just found that if I can stay organized by my calendar and have the personal option on my phone, like my weeks are so much more streamlined and efficient. There are going to be things that are thrown your way, but I found that those simple things really help me. And then too, like while I'm traveling, like letting my team know, hey, like this is going to be, these are the times that I'm going to be available for you, especially if I'm in another time zone that's way ahead or way behind, them knowing that I'm going to be available at X during the day at this day. And I do take a lot of time Sunday evenings to really get all my thoughts out there, send my team's messages, get emails going so that when my team comes in Monday morning, they know exactly what we need to prioritize so that we can be efficient for the week.
So when we live by our calendar, do you have a calendar that is both work and life so that you can make sure that you are doing some of that balance, whatever that balance looks like for you?
Yeah, I keep everything in the same calendar. Last week, I decided that I was going to start exercising again. And I was like, I'm never going to do it unless I just put it in my calendar. So I went forward 3 weeks, time block the 1 hour I wanted every other day for a bar or Pilates or whatever it was, and put it in there. And then when it comes to the afternoons, if I'm in town, I want to pick up the girls from school and take them to their activities. So I have that blocked in my calendar to know that, okay, on Monday, I have to wrap all my meetings up by 2:05 so that I can go get a car line.
And it really helps your employees understand, and you're actually leading by example with this too, right? That it's okay if you have family things come up that you need to do. It's just about making sure you're present at work and present for family, really, when you're doing one or the other. But let me ask you, what happens when, you know, the kids are sick or, you know, you have to, maybe there's somebody out there who has that sandwich generation. They have the children they're taking care of and the parents they have to take care of. How do they start to balance that when so much is going on in their mind, especially, but any strategies around that?
So I do a couple things depending on the schedule. My husband will help with the kids. I'm obviously my business is at a point where I'm more supportive of the finances of the family. It just kind of fell that way. So, if the kids are sick, he'll typically take them to work with him, or he'll stay home with them if the nanny's unavailable. Or, I'll just block out the rest of my day and I'll stay home with the kids and I'll work from home and take them to the doctor. And I work with a ton of female founders and business owners, and even the men. Like, I send them a message. I'm like, hey, can we move this? Or I'm going to join the call, but I'm going to be off camera. I'm going to be muted most of the time because my children and my family comes first.
Mm-hmm. I love that lead by example, because that is amazing, because there's so many business owners and leaders out there. They don't care about what's going on in your life, but really they need to, because mm-hmm. that you bring that stress and the frustration and everything to work, and then we don't become successful or even productive that day, right? Yeah. So how do you show your team, besides, you know, leading by example here, but even for people who are listening, how do we support our team when they're going through these things? How do we let them know it's okay? Are there any strategies, especially in organizations where we're seeing that they don't really appreciate the idea of work life, because that does happen in a lot of organizations? What are your thoughts on that?
We're pretty flexible. Most of our team is in office Monday through Thursday, mm-hmm. and then Fridays are remote. And I've told the team, I really don't care where you are on Fridays, as long as, you know, you put it in the calendar that you are traveling in case a shoot comes up and I can't send mm-hmm. somebody locally. As long right. as you're getting your work done, I really don't care where you're working from on Fridays. You know, and I had two girls call out this morning. They were sick. And my first thing to them was, hey, I hope you feel better. Please let me know, like, what the team needs to handle for you today that you're not able to get to, so that when you do come back, you're not inundated with a bunch of work. Like, we have an entire team here to support you mm-hmm. while you're out. We have a really big team member right now on an 8-week maternity leave. She's about 3 weeks in, and, you know, we're not to bother her. We have completely taken her workload off of her, so that when she comes back, like, it's going to be a clean slate and she's not going to feel overwhelmed.
Is it about building processes then around this? Like saying, you know, when you're on leave or you're on vacation or whatever, that we're not to reach out to each other? Is it about creating those types of processes?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've done a little bit of that. We are a little bit smaller of a business. We have mm-hmm. 18 employees. Typically, you know, it's like, hey, set up your away message on email. Mm-hmm. We will not bother you unless, like, the place is burning down and there's just absolutely yeah. a question that we cannot answer and we absolutely have to have, so that when people in our team does step away, they can enjoy their time and not have to stress and mm-hmm. worry about work. But, you know, I mean, as entrepreneurs, I don't really feel like we have that true ability to completely unplug at all times. You know, I will say, hey guys, don't bother me unless, you know, something happens of this nature, but I'm still stuck to, like, check in and send a message about mm-hmm. something, just because we can never, like, turn off.
It's really hard as a business owner, for sure, especially as entrepreneurs, trying to turn anything off. So it's about creating boundaries, right? Like you said, putting that personal time on your phone. Great idea. If anybody's listening, use that strategy, because I love it. I love it. It also creates a good culture, doesn't it? When we have some processes that say it's okay, and, you know, or if you're sick, the team's ready to cover. Does that mean there's cross-training and things like that done to help with that culture and that process?
Absolutely. We make sure that everybody can support in all areas. There's not just one person that can do that one thing. We make mm-hmm. sure that there's somebody else on the team that can support in that area, because we are human. Things do happen. People get married. People have babies. People get sick. And you have mm-hmm. to be able to keep the agency running like a well-oiled machine when you have the clientele of the size that we have right now.
Yeah, because you don't want the clients to notice that there might be a little chaos going on.
Absolutely
in the background,
not.
Right?
They will never know.
So you guys sound like you have a great culture and you have processes in place. What would you tell to a company who doesn't have any of this yet? What is that starting point even?
You have to start with something and somewhere. I wish that I would have put some things in place a lot faster than I did. But as a 24-year-old starting an agency mm-hmm. with two clients and a laptop, like, I had no clue about processes, mm-hmm. systems. And, you know, I did have a few past jobs where they did things a certain way, so I kind of mimicked how they would do things. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you don't know until you just get thrown into it. And it's like, you need to have a really great CRM and a funnel and a way of communicating with your team, whether you have two people or 50 people. Mm-hmm. So it's just important to take step one and put something in place.
Just anything, really, even just starting by opening up the conversation, really, right? Like, that communication piece.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to ask you about lessons learned, because you said you started when you were younger and you're moving along and you have a good culture now. What are some of those lessons learned that you want to share with our audience so they don't have to make the same mistake as you? Anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, I wish that when I was younger, I think if I wouldn't have reacted immediately to certain things and took the time to really process and then make a decision or confront somebody about something, I would have not had to go through some of the harder things that I had to go through in terms of employee turnover or clientele turnover. Really taking a step back and not reacting, processing my emotions, and coming up with a logical solution to a problem.
It's almost a reflection, isn't it? Like, let's sit back and say, what went wrong here? And look at it and figure out a way that we can move forward better. And when our employees leave, that they leave with that better and that lesson learned as well, right?
Absolutely. And communicating, making sure that when you feel something in your gut is off, addressing it immediately and not letting it fester.
Yeah, and communication being a hot topic. How is it that you communicate maybe these changes to your employees? So if you decide there's a different type of process around this, or you want other employees to use the personal or the calendar a certain way, how do we communicate to them that it's okay, especially in those organizations that don't do what you do?
So we have a lot of people in office. I do have a good bit of remote staff as well, but if there's something new coming in place, I'll just walk out to our space and let them know, hey, this is what's coming. And then I'll typically follow it up with some sort of email, or if it's specific to a remote employee, I'll pick up the phone and have a conversation. You know, I think talking face to face or over the phone will resolve a lot of things, because things can be taken out of context through email and text.
Oh, easy.
It's important to be able to understand the tone of voice or even voice messaging. I've started in the past 6 months, like, sending so many voice messages, because you know exactly how somebody's feeling as they're speaking, and you can get so much more across in a short amount of time than having to sit there and like type out your message.
And you're right, the tone, right? Completely missing. We could totally take that text in the wrong way for either good or for bad. I mean, all of a sudden I think that Madison sent me something. She's really angry with me, but really that's not at all. You were congratulating me on something, right? And so I agree with you. I do like the voice notes, or you know, sometimes there's the video notes and stuff like that that people are now using to help communicate and make it clearer, because miscommunication is a big problem. And when we have new processes in place, right, we want to share that. Let me ask you about a vulnerability here, because obviously when we're sharing with our team and we're building a culture where it's okay to say, I have something going on. How do people come across as, you know, you're being vulnerable about this? Does that help build that team culture when you're vulnerable about something going on in your life?
No, absolutely. I believe that when you can be authentic and vulnerable and open and honest, it builds trust. And if you can have people trust you and believe in you and know that your word is your word, you will have the best staff for as long as you're in business, because they'll fully trust you and know that you are going to take the company where you say you're going to take it. And the same thing goes for if there's clients that are mistreating or misspeaking to your team members, you know, I'll personally call that client and be like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, this is not acceptable for you to speak to somebody this way. And there's been instances where I've dropped clients over not respecting my team, because, you know, they obviously sometimes will get a different tone when the boss is on the phone.
Yes, of course.
Every time. But, you know, if you're just, everybody knows that I'm very open, honest, and going to tell you how it is in a respectful, nice way.
Of course.
You know, I think a lot of that comes from my childhood and growing up in the South. You know, we're very yes, ma'am, no, sir, and just having respect for people.
Respect is huge, especially when developing team and even being vulnerable. We have to respect each other. If I'm telling you something confidential, I want you to keep it that way and not share with everybody, right? So I agree with you. These things are really, really important. Let me ask you, when it comes to reflecting back on things, is there that one thing where you really want to share that with our audience today? It's that That lesson learned that was so big that they can't leave with that without that today.
I think one thing that I wish I would have done differently is prepare for a storm financially, because you never know when all hell is going to break loose and you're going to lose that big client, or you're going to lose a slew of clients, or you're not going to be able to make that next hire to cover whatever you have to cover. But preparing yourself for the worst, because not everybody will experience it, but we definitely did at a time where, you know, we doubled revenue every year for 3 years. Year four hit and I thought, okay, we're going to double again. Money's cheap. It's easy for me to sell. And right before I had my third baby, I had a client call me that took between 60 to 70% of our recurring revenue and gave me a 30-day notice.
Wow.
And in that moment, I was like, what am I going to do? I have 30 days and I'm having a baby in less than 30 days. And it was hard.
Affects that work-life balance again, doesn't it? Because now suddenly work is more important. So how did you manage that?
I went back to work when my son was 2 weeks old and took the nanny with me. And we went out every day and seeked new clients until finally 6 months later, we were back into a better spot financially. But those 6 months was every day waking up with a pit in my stomach, like, how am I going to make this work?
Especially with a brand new baby, that's got to be rough, because it's not just like somebody else has lost a few clients and then maybe they don't have family, but you have the brand new baby and family at home, and that means that you're less with them. I love the idea, by the way, that you took the baby with you. I love it. It's that way you can still connect at every opportunity, right?
Yeah, he traveled with me everywhere until he was about 1 year old. My daughter before that as well. But what was so hard about last year was, you know, my husband also had the worst year ever in sales. And it was like, normally one of us would be up above the other and we can kind of balance it. But it was just like, all hell broke loose last year and we both were having a horrible financial year. And we really had to adjust and reflect on everything and really scale back and become very lean so that we can make it through and be able to keep the business and keep everything.
And so were you able to maintain presence at home for your family as well as presence at work? Because obviously work for both of you would have been heavy. So the presence at home, you have a tip for that? How did you maintain that promise?
My husband became a lot more present at home during that time because he knew that I had to go to work because I had the fastest way of turning it around financially. So he really stepped up into that role of supporting the other children. And, you know, I had the baby with me most days, but it really took him taking a step back and supporting me in the home so that I could go to work and find solutions.
Yeah, and it sounds like our conversation went in a circle. We started with support and we're ending with support. So clearly support is the big tip, right? Is to have a support system behind you at work and at home. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I could not do what I do today without my support system.
So who should be on a support system bench, we'll call it, for a business owner or a leader who does have a lot of work and also has a family at home? Like who are the people?
Well, if you don't have like supportive parents or parents that can help with the kids, or if you don't have a spouse or a partner, you know, being able to bring in those support people, whether you're hiring that nanny or that person that can come in the evenings and help you babysit for a couple hours, just so that you can come in and come home to a put together home and maybe prep dinner for you, you know, and having a list of people. I always have like an ongoing list of babysitters that I can call on at any time and not just rely on one person. It really does take a village of people to support you so that you can focus on scaling your business. Because the truth is, we're not going to be constantly scaling our businesses. Like, we're going to get it to a point where we want it to be, and then we coast for a period of time. So it's like, while you're going through that uphill climb, having the people in place so that you can stay focused. And then ultimately, once you hit your goal, being able to slow down and be more present in the home and enjoy all the hard work you put in.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anybody at work that we should be using as support system?
I have an amazing executive assistant and marketing personal assistant. So I have
Okay.
two, one that's on the financial, you know, organization side of the business, and then the other one that will literally help order flowers for clients' birthdays or make the Amazon order, or help book flights for the team, or help book flights for my travel. Just little things that you can delegate. I'm a big advocate for delegating as much as you can that you don't have to
Absolutely.
physically do, so that we can keep ourselves on the expensive high dollar an hour tasks and be able to delegate the rest.
And I think delegation is a great way to ensure balance as well, because we don't have to do it all as the business owners and leaders, and we have to accept that we don't have to do it all, which is tough for a lot of people. And delegating is a great way to say, you know what, you've got this. I'm going to go home.
And you're putting trust in people, and they know, oh,
Yeah.
she trusts me to handle this and do this right and to the best of my ability. And you're giving of that freedom to them to make those decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Empowerment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. Great conversation today. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share?
I think just in business in general and being an entrepreneur, knowing that every day is going to be a new challenge, and you just have to keep pushing forward and say yes, because like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Somebody's going to tell you no.
Then you move on to the next thing, right? Until
That's
you
right.
get the yes. Yeah, absolutely. So if our audience wanted to learn more about you, or even your business, is there a way they can easily find you online?
Yeah, follow us on Instagram, Mad Marketing House, or go to our website, madmarketinghouse.com. We share a lot of really great educational style content to help you as a business owner, if you're building a personal brand, and help you grow your page on social media.
Love that. That's great resources. Thank you so much for that. So thank you for joining us today and for all your tips and insights. I'm sure this resonates with a lot of people out there, and it's not a topic that we talk a lot about. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, we thank our audience as well. We do hope you gained some valuable insights or tips from today's conversation with Madison. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a great rating. This helps us and our guests like Madison reach even more leaders with these helpful stories, tips, and advice. We do love helping other leaders grow and thrive. Leadership is better when we do it together, so we would love for you to consider our brand new Amplifying Leadership Circle community. More information on the community and all of our other services can be found at amplifyingleadership.ca. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.